The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
I'm known as what is a Bitcoin maximalist, in that the only cryptocurrency I care about is Bitcoin. The mission of Bitcoin is to create the best money in the world and move towards a Bitcoin standard.
Well, that was podcaster and Bitcoin enthusiast Peter McCormack, who has carved out a niche for himself extolling the virtues of Bitcoin and denouncing all other cryptocurrencies online. He's one of a new breed of online gurus. Others focus on areas such as wellness, self-improvement and career enhancement. Author, journalist and host of the upcoming BBC Radio 4 podcast, The New Gurus, Helen Lewis joins us now to talk about this phenomenon. Helen, I suppose the first question that comes to mind is this all about the money?
Well, one of the things I did find as I looked into all these different areas, and you mentioned a couple of them there, is that cryptocurrency has been a huge boon. You know, it's sponsoring people's podcasts. People are making adverts for it. And that's because it is essentially an unregulated space with, you know, billions of pounds and dollars washing around in it. And the same thing is true of wellness supplements. You know, medicines are incredibly tightly regulated what you can sell. But if you sell something and don't make, you know, specific medicinal claims, you make much more general claims about how it's going to make you less tired, then you can sell those kind of things online. So, yeah, there are two engines, I think, driving a lot of these influencers and gurus, and they are crypto and wellness supplements.
If you move outside of that, I'm thinking about pre-internet days, you know, there would have been, for example, evangelical churches that would have had TV, their own TV networks in the United States, and people would have been part of that church. And on the other hand, the guys behind were making lots of money. We've had self-help books, you know, for decades. What is it that's new about the online guru?
Well, what always happens with the internet is it makes everything kind of faster and bigger and more accessible to more people. So you're exactly right to pick up the idea of churches. We start our story with a guru, an Indian guru called Yogananda, who went to America in the 20th century. And he took advantage of a new technology to communicate with people. And that was radio back then. And that was considered to be quite revolutionary. And then we trace that through to the development of, you know, the home computer, the smartphone, internet. And all of those inventions have had the ability for people to reach more people more quickly. So you're right. When, if you were the very charismatic preacher of a church, you know, you would go around, you'd tour the country and do perhaps faith healing or whatever it might be. But only, you know, a couple of hundred people could see you at a time. Now you post that stuff on Instagram and it's available to millions of people instantly. So the effect of all that, I think, has been to create this class of sort of spiritual teachers. And that's what I'm investigating in the program.
Also, a lot of people are giving out advice, whether it's around wellness or whatever. And sometimes advice that people might give is kind of quite harmless, because in a way they're repackaging the obvious. But also, the online guru is something that people should be wary of. When should you be wary, and when is it just, you know, an entertaining something to listen to or watch?
Right. That's something that we've looked at all the way through the series, is the fact that, you know, I watch a lot of things on social media, and some of them are really quite helpful. You know, the productivity gurus, for example, big on YouTube and places like that. And they will talk to you about, you know, things like the Pomodoro technique, which is basically working for 25 minutes and then taking a 5-minute break. And that's completely harmless. I find that a very good way, if I've got something long to write, of just kind of carving it up into manageable chunks. So, yeah, I'm not condemning the whole sort of sphere of it. But when there are a couple of warning signs to look out for, one is when people are kind of intensely narcissistic and everything is about them, which is sort of cultish, right, like a cult leader. The second is when they have a sort of sense of grievance that they're trying to recruit you to. And you see that particularly in sort of some of the anti-vaccine communities. You know, the idea that there are secret truths that are being suppressed by the mainstream media is generally something to kind of look out for. And that tips into conspiracism too. And also, when people are asking you for your money, in for various sort of nebulous and shadowy ways. You know, lots of these guys do subsist on advertising revenue, so all your contract with them is just that you watch their content. But if somebody wants kind of hundreds of dollars out of you to join their membership scheme or watch their online course, then, you know, those things aren't regulated. So be really careful how you spend your money and whether or not you're going to get your money's worth out of it.
The other element of it as well is the conspiracy theorists and, you know, gurus who are either front and center of promoting conspiracy theories, or they're sort of skirting around saying, isn't this interesting? But in a way, they're they're benefiting or cashing in from conspiracy theories.
Yeah, that's called in the trade just asking questions. And I think a really good example of it, who we cover in the series, is someone called Russell Brand, I'm sure familiar. You know, used to be a mainstream comedian and film star, now has a big YouTube channel where he will just ask questions about whether or not there is a secret plot to install a world government being overseen from Davos. So he just asks questions about...
We have a clip here of Russell Brand we can play here.
Good day to you, you 5.1 million awakening wonders. This war is a simple black and white thing. Either Putin is evil or NATO started it. But when did the war in Ukraine really start? And who really started it?
Well, I mean, he's asking a sort of an open question there. Although you get a sense that he's probably drifting towards a certain answer.
Right, yes, but the answer is not a sort of simple, actually it's a war of aggression started by Vladimir Putin against a smaller country. And I think, you know, that's the really difficult thing about talking about all this is it's completely legitimate to talk about the origins of the war in Ukraine and the wider geopolitical strategy of it, right, which is why this is such a powerful technique. But you will notice this happens a lot in vaccines. When people are just asking questions about whether or not the vaccine is safe, the answer never comes back, we've looked into it, and yes, they are. We now have an enormous amount of research data and real-world experience to show that they really are. So it's a kind of front for not having to say the thing you want to say, which is, you know, which may be something that would get you banned from social media or censured. So, yeah, people do use that style. What? But the other thing I think is really interesting about that clip is that you hear him say, you 5.1 million awakening wonders. And that's something we see a lot with gurus, which is the idea of really flattering their audience. Now, I'm sure you're very nice to your listeners. I'm sure your listeners are very nice back to you. But you don't sort of imply that they're the special people, that they're the only ones who've got some sort of secret knowledge. And that's a hallmark of the gurus, I think.
And they're really special because they're listening to me, basically, is sort of...
Well, they are. I mean, in this case, it happens to be true. They are.
Yeah. And what about the ingredients for success, you know, to be a successful online guru of whatever shade? I mean, for example, if you're going to give, I don't know, self-improvement advice or relationship advice, you know, presumably it helps to have good teeth and things like that.
I think being attractive in show business is always helpful. And I guess, you know, these people are often in essentially branches of entertainment. One of the things that's really interesting is that when we talk to some of the people I would call the kind of good gurus, the self-aware ones who are trying to, you know, give advice, but be responsible and be aware of the traps that you can fall into. One of the things they often bring up is how incredibly thirsty the internet is. You know, the productivity gurus know that they have to be posting every day, maybe multiple times a day to YouTube. Otherwise, they get penalized by the algorithm and they don't show up so highly in search results. So there is a kind of sense of relentlessness. You've got to keep feeding the machine. And, you know, there's, as you say, some of these things are quite obvious, reheated conventional wisdom. There's only so many things in the world. There's only so many different ways you can tell people, have you tried, you know, getting a bit more sleep, resting and eating well. So people often do cast about for quite extreme theories simply to differentiate themselves in the market or simply because they've got to constantly be posting.
It's a fascinating topic. Helen Lewis, journalist and author of BBC Radio 4's podcast, The New Gurus. Thank you very much for joining us on the program.